begin Mitzvah Hay, at long last. The Mitzvah of Shechitas HaPesach, and of course once you start Mitzvah Hay, you know you're going to be in Pesach for a long, long time. Nonetheless, let's go through the basic Mitzvah, read through the Sefer HaChinuch, just so we have a grasp of what we're talking about, what the scope is here. Lishchot b'yom arba'asar b'nisan b'en ha'arba'im. Right, to shecht on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon, and what you're shechting is either a yearling sheep or goat, and you're doing it in the Beis Hamikdash. V'zeh nikra karban ha-pesach. Shenemar u'shachatu asok kol kahal hadas Yisrael bein ha-arbayim. That's not how you know it's called a Pesach. That's just how you know what you're supposed to be when you're supposed to shecht it. V'inyan ha-mitzvahu. The way you actually do the mitzvah is Jews gather together in groups. They take one of their own animals, they buy an animal. They take this animal, they shecht it in the Azara, the big outer area, on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon. And then that evening, after they have done their eating, right, after the meal, they eat this animal, because you eat it when you are full. Not when you are full, but to the point of satiation, I should say. As we know. What time of day to do it? That they had three groups in the Azara for this process. The fact that it overrides Shabbos, how you become a member in a group, reciting halal while doing it. It's male and female during the Beis Hamikdash. So don't do that. If you miss it intentionally, you get kares. This is one of, well, he's going to tell you actually. Bishogig enu may be karban. If you do it, miss it accidentally, you don't bring a karban. This is one of only three sins for which we say that if you miss it intentionally, there's kares, but if you miss it, if you do it accidentally, it's just a, there is no chatas. Vehein is zeh. This, the Megadev, a person who either blasphemes or sings to Avodah Zarah, some machlokas on that, and the person who doesn't do Bris Mila. Two of those three, Pesach and Mila, are the ones for which there are the mitzvos haseh that weren't kares, and the Megadev is a parsha unto itself, as the Gemara increases discusses. Okay. That's our basic mitzvah. Clearly there's a lot here for us to see. We'll see how we do with it. What I wanted to discuss tonight is the issue of Bikur Karban, the issue of examining the Karban Pesach. This actually is a fascinating, fascinating section. It starts with the Gemara in Erchin. If you take a look at source number one, that's our Gemara. Mas Nisan, the Mishnah says, not regarding the Karban Pesach, but regarding the Karban Tamid. You had no fewer than six lambs that had been mivukar, that had been examined, right? Bikur cholim does not mean visiting the sick. Bikur cholim means examining the sick. So he says, the word in Hebrew now for criticism is bikoret, right? So you have no fewer than six examined sheep in the lishkas hatzlam, a special room for the sheep, such that theoretically you would have enough to carry you through Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, right? 3 days worth. And you can have as many as you like, but no fewer than six. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why in the world would having six suffice for Shabbos and Yom Tov? Between the Karban Tamid and the Karban Musaf, you can have many, many more. So he says, Tana ba'alma koi. Yeah, you're right. But we were just talking about the Karban Tamid. We weren't really sitting down and counting out how many you would need for Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. Then why did you bother mentioning Shabbos and Yom Tov? The Karban Tamid doesn't change. It's two, whether it's Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah or any random Tuesday. So he says, you're right, Simna Ba'alma is just a sign, like for you to remember Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. V'achik Yomar, and this is what he's saying. Ein polsin mishisha tzlam hamavukarim belishkas hatzlaim arba'a yamim kodem shechita. What he's saying is that we have no fewer than 6 sheep that have been examined in that room 4 days in advance of their shechita. In other words, I have 2 for today, plus another 6. That's the idea. Umani, and who is the author of this view? Ben Bagbaghi. That's Ben Bagbag talking. The Sanya, as the Brisa says, Ben Bagbag Omer, Minayin Latamid Shaton Biku Arba Yom Kodem Shechita. How do you know that the Karban Tamid has to be examined before the four days in before the Shechita? Tamid Lomar is there, but you'll be able to shift, so you'll be able to share with us. The Tamalomar Tishmeru Lakir Liba Ma'ado, because the pasuk says, "You shall guard to bring these karbanos for me on their moed at the proper time." So the key word there is Tishmeru. You shall guard. Ulahalanu Omer, and then later on it says, "Vayalachem leMishmeres Ad Arba Asar Yom LaChodesh Hazeh." You shall guard it on the 14th of this month. Malahalan ton bikur abayam kodem shchita. Afkan ton bikur abayam kodem shchita. The pasuk here says tishmeru for the carbon tamid, the daily carbon. The pasuk regarding carbon pesach says you shall have it lemishmeres to guard until the 14th of the month. Just like for the carbon pesach, you have to guard it for 4 days before you shecht it. So too for the carbon tamid, you have to guard it for 4 days before you're going. Not guard it. I shouldn't say guard it. You are going to examine it for 4 days pre shchita. So what we have established so far, after we read through the basic mitzvah, is the principle from the Gemara in Erchin that the karban tamid, the daily karban, has to be examined 4 days in advance. And we're told here that Ben Bagbag, who we before that only knew from Pirkei Avos, right? Ben Bagbag says that that's actually from the karban Pesach. Sorry.
Or Shvaki.
Okay, fair enough. I was thinking Pirkei Avos. So we need to understand more about what exactly is happening when you examine the animal and why we're examining the animal at all before we can really understand what happens regarding the Karban Pesach. Point number one that's very important, Rashi is going to make this clear on the Gemara in Pesachim when we deal with the Karban Pesach, and that is that the examination need not take place after the animal has been dedicated. You can examine it first and then dedicate it. Okay? In other words, the fact that I declare that you have to that I have to check it, let's take the Karban Pesach, the fact that I say you have to check the Karban Pesach on the 10th of Nisan does not mean you have to actually purchase it and dedicate it on the 10th of Nisan. Rashi is going to make that clear in Pesachim. We're not there yet. But the Turei Evan very much wants to accept that as well. The Turei Evan, also known as the Shagas Aryeh, also known as the Gvuros Ari, of Aryeh Ginsburg, says that it must be so, that you can check the animal before you dedicate it, because it's going to solve a problem for us in a Gemara in Megillah. Take a look at source number 4. I'm jumping 2 and 3 for now, because I'd rather not confuse us until I absolutely have to. The Gemara Megillah is source number 4. It's talking about the announcements that they used to make on Rosh Chodesh Adar. And there in the Gemara in Megillah, they talk about how they announced on Rosh Chodesh Adar, remember to get your shkalim in to the Beis HaMikdash. Right, because you're going to start using them on the 1st of Nisan. So the Gemara asks, Al hashkalim minalan. How do you know? What's our basis for saying that you have to start announcing about the shkalim on Rosh Chodesh Adar? Amar Rabbi Tavi, Amar Rabbi Yoshia. The Amar Kra, it's a pasuk. Zos olas chodesh bichad sho. The Torah says regarding the Karban Tamid, which you're going to purchase with the shkalim, this is the offering for literally each month in its month. But we take the word like chadash, like new. Amra Torah, the Torah says, chadesh, renew, v'havei karban mitruma chadash, and bring the karban from the new shkalim. Okay? Meaning that every year the cycle of the shkalim begins on the 1st of Nisan, you have to now bring your karban tamid starting in Nisan from the new shkalim. V'kevan de b'nisan bo'ya kruvim mitruma chadasha, since in Nisan you're going to need to bring from the new shkalim, kadminan v'karinan v'echad ba'adar, we proceed it with an announcement starting on the 1st of Adar, ki echidaleisu shkalim ha'mikdash, that people will bring their shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash. If you want to know how far in advance you have to start reminding people to make sure they do it on time, The answer is 30 days. Right? Like the Gemara in Pesachim that says we start announcing elements of the Yom Tov 30 days before the Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, aha, that's interesting. 30 days. Not everybody in that Gemara in Pesachim thought it was 30 days. What's the alternative view? 2 weeks. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So the Gemara says, are we then negating the view of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? Kiman, who is this like? Delok Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. This is against the view of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said it's 2 weeks, not 30 days. Disanya, as the Brisa says, Shaul and Bilchas Pesach Kodel and Pesach Shloshim Yom. That's the mainstream view, 30 days. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Amar Shtei Shabbosos. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says no, 2 weeks. So does that mean that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel would believe you announce the Shkalim on what, Purim? Is that what you should do? No, even Rav Shimon ben Gamliel will agree with our system of announcing things on the first of Adar. Why? Kevin de Amar Mar, since we've learned b'chamisha asar bo shulchanos yoshvim b'medina, u'besim b'chamisha yoshvim b'mikdash, v'shem shulchanos kadminan v'karinan, and since we know that on the 15th of Adar, you would start seeing tables set up with money changers so that people could change their money to be able to bring their half shekel, right, 15th of Adar in general, 25th of Adar in the Beis Hamikdash. Since we knew that that was when they set things up, it's 2 weeks in advance of when the money changers are set. Got it? So far, so good. What we're saying is, in this Gemara here, you're announcing the first of Adar because you're going to want to buy your karbanos
with the first of Nisan.
So it's really, it ends up being 30 days. Right. It ends up, well, the first of Adar at any rate, according to everybody. Right. Whether you're a Rav Shimon ben Gamliel or anybody else, you're going to do it on the first of Adar. Mm-hmm. Well,
30 days before Nisan, all of Nisan is birthday.
Right. So the Shagas Aryeh, also known as the Turei Evan, says, really? That's very interesting. Tell me something, whether you're a Rav Shimon ben Gamliel or whether you're the Tanakhama. When are you planning on purchasing the Karban Tamid for the first of Nisan? When are you making that purchase?
They didn't accumulate money in stages. It was all.
You did your Shrumas Halishka on the first of Nisan. Uh-huh. That's when you designate your new Shkalim. So when did you purchase your animal? On the first of Nisan, right? How did it have 4 days prep? What happened to our whole concept? Karban Tamid needs 4 days of preparation. So therefore, says the Turei Evan, it must be that you could inspect the animal without actually having dedicated it, without even having purchased it. That's his approach. Got it? Almost good. There's one problem. The problem is a Rashi in source number 5. The Gemara in Shavuos talks about what they did with what we call tamidin shelo hutzrichu letzibur, animals that had been designated for the Karban Tamid, that had no blemish, but weren't needed by the community. And there's a redemption process, and that's all fine and good. But what is the case in which you have a Karban Tamid that the community didn't need? So look at Rashi in source number 5. Shelakchum mima'os trumas halishka. Animals that you purchased with the money from these shkalim, utnan, and we learned ein polsin mishisha tlam hamavukaran belishkas atlam, that you had no fewer than 6 animals already sitting there in that room. Ukshemagia Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and when you reach Rosh Chodesh Nisan, lo ayu makrivin shuv karbanos tzibur mimaos hatruma shalishtakar. When you hit Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you're not going to use those karbanos anymore. They're from last year. In other words, Rashi seems to believe that you bought them already with the old shkalim, and therefore they're useless come Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the Turei Evan says, I don't get it. If that's really true, then I have a bigger problem. I don't understand your announcement then is useless on the first of Adar, because you need to purchase already in advance. But forget that. He says, if you believe that you can inspect before, then why didn't they just bring in new sheep 3 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, do your inspections, and then buy them come Rosh Chodesh Nisan? And he says, well, maybe Rashi only meant those animals that are set aside for the 30th of Adar. Maybe that's what Rashi is referring to when he says, Tmidin Shalu Utsrichu, because you don't know if it's going to be the 30th of Adar or the 1st of Nisan. But he says, even still, you still could have done it. You still could have inspected it before the purchase and then dedicate them that day. And you could choose to use Old Shkalim or New Shkalim when you actually purchase them on that day, which is either the 30th of Adar or the 1st of Nisan. So in fact, he pointed out something very interesting. If you take a look at source number 6, Rashi and Menachos, also dealing with these unnecessary Tamidin, offers you a second explanation from his Rebbe. In Yon Acher, he offers you an alternate approach there. Mori Rebbe Zal, my mentor, taught me Shalo Utzrichu Litzibur, means Sha'avdu V'hifrash Acherim Tachteim V'achkach Nimtzu. The answer is, it's talking about where you had an animal you separated for the carbon tamid, it went AWOL. They have that term here, right? The AWOL in the U.S. usually means they went to Canada. The animal went missing, they dedicated a new one to replace the old one, and then they found the old one. So that's to me the inshallah litzibor, animals that that turned out not to be needed. So he offers that as an approach, but it's very clear, despite the Rashi and Shavuos that we don't really know what to do with, it's clear that Rashi himself believes, as does the Turei Evan, that you can inspect these animals before you actually purchase them, before you actually dedicate them. That tends to be the assumption. Okay.
What do you do with them? Where is their holding?
The Lishkas Hatzlayim is in the Beis HaMikdash.
I know, but I'm saying, but if they're not dedicated yet, they're just inspected, they would be also going to Lishkas Hatzlayim? That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay, they
apparently, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the Malbim asks the question regarding this inspection process that you're doing. Why exactly are you doing this? What's the goal of inspecting the animal in advance? What am I trying to accomplish? And he frames it very interestingly. I like what he says. The Malbim's view, and we'll see it here momentarily in source number 9, but the Malbim's view is that if you only have a prohibition that says, don't bring a blemished animal, which we have for all of our karbanos, right? Kolmon lo yiyebo in various forms the Torah says, you're going to bring an offering, don't bring a blemished animal, right? So then you could just bring a karban that you don't know has a blemish. Right? If I don't know anything about any blemish on this animal, I can bring the animal. There's no active mitzvah of go looking for trouble. Right? In the same way that in any area of halacha, you don't have a mitzvah of go ferret out problems. Go look to see that you have problems. We don't do that. Only when you have a reason to believe that there might be an issue, do we say, okay, now go check. For example, a woman and man are going to live together. She doesn't need to inspect herself to make sure that she didn't bleed, that she's not an Ida. Unless you get to the time of the month that she expects, you know, she has a vesset, she has some kind of a schedule that she's on where she thinks she's likely to bleed, that's a different story. But otherwise, we don't have any such thing. Otherwise, our principle is that that you don't go looking for trouble. And that's what the Malbim says. However, if you have an active obligation, bring a perfect animal, like we saw in the Gemara in Erchin, where it talked about Tishmeru, you should guard it, then that means, yes, you have to do an examination. And that's the way that the Malbim understands what happens here. Take a look, please, at source number 7. It's Sifra Medrash Tevayikra. The Torah says, Tamim Yakrivenu. Okay, you shall bring it as tamim, as an animal that is tam, that is unblemished. So the first view there is tamim yak dishenu. The word yak rivenu, bring it, means dedicate it. And the first view is dedicate it when it is tam, which, as far as the Malbim is concerned, means that you don't know it's blemished. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tamim Yakrivenu, you shall bring it when it is Tamim, Yivakrenu V'yakrivenu, that means you examine it and bring it. Omer Rabbi Yossi says, Shamati B'shochet Tamid B'Shabbos, She'in Mevukar, I have learned that if you shech the carbon Tamid on Shabbos without checking it, Chayav Chatas V'yavi Tamid Achir, you have to bring a carbon Chatas, and, in addition, bring a new carbon tamid. So look carefully at that last line that Rabbi Yossi says. What's that case? It's Shabbos. I bring a carbon tamid, right? I didn't check it. I now have to bring a carbon chatas and a new carbon tamid. Right? That's what you're telling me. Was this animal blemished? The one that I brought? Anything wrong with it? What do you think?
No.
We don't know. I mean, we don't know if it was Bhagavad Gita. We didn't know.
It's a shame of Ukarbonga.
Right, it's referring to the animal you brought as the carbon tamid.
But when?
When, at the time of the... At the time of the Shechita, correct. So on the one hand...
But yeah. Did he examine it 4 days before?
Right, apparently not.
Otherwise, there would be...
Apparently, it's... Well, I don't know about that. Maybe we require a daily check. I wouldn't jump on that. But the Tosfos looks at this and says, you know what this has to mean? This means even if you check it now, after the Shechita, and you find that there was no blemish... The prohibition is don't bring an animal that you have not checked, or to state it in a positive sense, you must bring only animals that you have checked. And so even if there was no blemish, it's still unacceptable. Take a look at source number 8. Tosfos makes the point. He says it has to be so. Tosfos in Sukkah says, Shein mubukar ki hilchaso, it had not been checked properly. The va'afilu nimsa tam, even if it turns out to be unblemished. Because it has to be checked for 4 days before you shechted. As the Gemara says, we deduce it from the Karban Pesach. That was what we saw in source number 1. It was a link of Mishmeres and Tishmeru. Tosfos doesn't say here how he knows this. You know he knows it. Because if you're talking about where the animal turned out to have been blemished, I didn't need a Sifra to tell me you have to bring a new Karban. Right? I didn't need Rabbi Yossi to tell me that. I once heard that if you brought a carbon tamid on Shabbos and it had a blemish, you have to bring a new one. Of course you do. It wasn't a carbon tamid. He must be talking about even where it turns out to be unblemished. Rabbi Yossi's position is that the checking is actually an inherent part of the process of bringing the carbon. And if you didn't check it, you didn't fulfill the carbon. And you did it on Shabbos... Now I have to bring a chatas for shechting inappropriately on Shabbos. It's a show cake. It's an accident. It's a chatas, but it's still you violated the law. That's what that's what Tosfos sees. So now we're ready to see the Malbim. Source number 9. Look at this. He says, "Kasuv shnei pa'amim tamim yakrivenu." The Torah says twice, "You shall bring it tamim." V'lama kafal devarav. Why did the Torah say it twice? Amar b'sifra, it said it in the sifra, that's what we just read in source number 7, shahasheni, that the second time it says, yakrivenu, you shall bring it. Bala haros shatamim yakdishenu, come to teach me that you dedicate it as tamim, right? That's the first view in the medrash there. Shemashakasa ba'olas tzon, tamim yakrivenu, perish yakdishenu. When the Torah says, regarding the burnt offering you bring from the sheep, you shall bring it tamim, that means dedicate it as tamim. Granted, we already knew that from Parshas Emor when it said, don't bring blemished animals. There's a difference between saying, don't bring a blemished animal, and saying, bring a checked animal. When the Pasuk says, blemished animals should not be brought, don't bring blemished animals, as a negative, hurak bivadai mum. That's where you know it is blemished. Vasafek mutter. If you don't know any better, you're not sure, you could bring the animal. Avakashomer tamim yakrivenu bechiyu. But when it says bring it tamim as an obligation, tzarech sheyeda bivadai shu tamim. Then you have to know for sure it is tamim. Vasafek aser. And if you're not sure, it's no good. And vitzarech livdok atar mumin kodem haekdesh. And you have to check it before you do the hakdasha, before you do the dedication. That's the Tanakhama. V'das Rabbi Yossi, in Rabbi Yossi's view, is shemashakosuf tamim yakrivenu hu ha'akrab ala mizbeach. He says the word yakrivenu means when you're going to bring it on the mizbeach. That's when you do your check. Ukamash Malan teaching us shetzarch sheyeda b'sh'as hakrava shehu tamim, that you have to know when you bring it to the mizbeach that it's tamim. And if you don't know as a definite matter, meaning you didn't do a check, even if it turns out carbon was tamim, nonetheless it's no good, And he says, you can look in Tosfos that we just referenced and see that there as well. That's the comment of the Malbim. So again, make sure we're all on the same page. We saw the Gemara in Erechin that says you have to check the Korban Tamid based on the Korban Pesach, the link to the Korban Pesach. We saw that the checking can take place before the animal has been bought and dedicated. We're going to see that in Rashi and Pesachim as well. And we've seen that we saw a little detour there about the Rashi and Shavuos, about the unnecessary Korban Tamid, and how I understand a necessary Korban Tamid, if you could have checked it before, fine, before the purchase. And then we have the Malbim's explanation for why I need to do this Bikur, why I need to do the exam. It's a proactive mitzvah as opposed to just don't bring a Baal Mum. But there's an apparent inconsistency in the Rambam regarding this Korban Tamid. Okay, before we get back to Korban Pesach.
What does Rav Yossi say with Tomei Yagdishenu? Tomei Yagdishenu, he says what?
He says Yakrivenu means Yakrivenu.
And what does he say with Yakrivenu then?
No, there is no pasuk saying Yakrivenu.
What does he say with the kafel then?
Right, so he seems to say the only purpose of the kafel is to give me a positive in addition to the negative. In other words, had it only said it once, I would have said, yeah, this is a statement of don't bring it with a mum. The fact that we mentioned it twice teaches me also the chiyuv of go out and check it. Did the Malam actually say that explicitly? Or is that my... in other words, what is it would be... I have to look back at the Malbim. You know what? I'm not 100% sure. I have to look back at the Malbim. I did excise some of it just for space reasons. But it could be that he dealt there with what Rabbi Yossi would say. Because you're right, he has the Tanakhama deducing Yakdishenu from the fact that it's mentioned twice. So I'd have to go back and take a look. Yeah. What does the Rambam think? The Rambam is apparently inconsistent. If you take a look at source number 10, the Rambam writes, "Ein pochsin mishisha tzlam hamavukarin belishkas hatzlam shebamikdash." No fewer than 6 checked lambs there in the Beis Hamikdash, like we've talked about. They're ready 4 days before, again, just like the Gemara in Erechin that we saw at the beginning. Granted that they checked them first, nonetheless, so it's actually not, as you asked before, it's not that you're doing 4 days of checking. It's you check it in the beginning and you check it again before the Shechita, right? Kodem Shechita la'or ha'avukos. Find special torches, and that way you make sure that you did everything right. He's concerned about the morning one that you're doing so early, making sure that you have proper lighting to do the check. Fine. That's what we see in Hilchos Tmidin Musafin. That's good. But then we look at Hilchos Shgagos. And the Rambam there talks about checking the Korban Pesach without checking it, but doesn't mention the Korban Tamid. He says, "Ashochet as a Pesach biyomar baser shecholios b'Shabbos. If you shech the Korban Pesach on the 14th, which is Shabbos, ... V'nimtza bal mum, turns out to have a mum. Oshayt a treifa galuya, or it was a treifa that should have been visible to you, right? As opposed to something inside you couldn't have known. Hareze chayev chatas. That's a chatas case. If it was inside and you couldn't have known, it's ones. But otherwise, it's shogeg b'nei shahaya lo livdo, because you should have checked. V'achakach yishchot, and then shecht it." And so too in all similar cases. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shgagos that if you shech the Korban Pesach without checking it, you could be in trouble. He doesn't mention anything about the Korban Tamid. What do I do with the Rambam? He told me in Hilchos Tmidin Musafin that you're supposed to do this process of checking.
Why do I have to say Shahoy says Shrei for Guluya?
Because
that's an obvious thing you can see. If it's like it says Baal Mum inside.
No. Baal Mum is not inside.
Where's the Baal Mum?
The Baal Mum also was something that you should have seen. Had you checked it, you would have seen it. The Baal Mum is a Baal Mum you would have seen, and the Treifa is a Treifa you would have seen had you checked, as opposed to something with
an enough committed between the Baal Mum or the Treifa.
You could have a Treifa that you could have a Baal Mum that's not a Treifa, and you could have a Treifa that's not a Baal Mum. If there's a puncture in one of the stomachs inside.
Oh, so that's inside.
Correct.
Obviously, you could not have checked it after the Shechita.
Right.
So
then you have no. Then you're not going to have to bring a chatas. Then it's an ones. But if it's something that would have turned up, you could have a case. You could have a case of a treifa, an animal that was attacked by a wolf that doesn't show visible mum signs at all, but is nonetheless is going to be considered a treifa. And you can have a baal mum that's not a treifa for sure. Yeah. The two are separate cases. The Rambam here, that's why I ellipsized. The Rambam here has other points also within this. His point is not limited to this one thing. I'm just excerpting that part. So how do I understand the Rambam? Take a look at source number 12 at the Malbim. The Malbim says, the Rambam, Avagav Shehevi Detamid Tone Bikur Arba Yamim, granted that the Rambam says that you have to check the Karban Tamid for 4 days, B'chol Zeh Lo Hevi Da Shochei Tamid She'enu Mavukar Afshinim Tatamim Yechayav Chatas. Nonetheless, the Rambam did not say that if you check the Karban Tamid without checking it, you have to bring a Chatas. Especially like Tosfos, that if you shechted it and it actually was perfect, nonetheless you have a chatas. Ukvar tama bazeh b'kapos tamarim. Shem the kapos tamarim expressed surprise about this. Venira, it appears. Shedaito de Tanakama, that in that sifra that we saw, the view of the Tanakama, Shedarish tamim yak dishenu, who said dedicated tamim, cholek al Rabbi Yossi, disagrees with Rabbi Yossi. V'agam shebetasefta isa amr b'yosi shamati sheshoche tamid shenu b'vukar chayav shnemar tamim yulachem. Right? She mevukarin to me. Then granted that Rabbi Yossi said, if you shecht it without checking it, you're going to end up having liability, even if it's fine. And that if you didn't check it, it doesn't qualify as a carbon tamid. You have to say that the view of Rabbi Yossi was, you have two psukim, this may be the answer.
Yeah, that's what
it's saying.
That's what's going on.
Right.
That's why he only says Yakuvenu, not Yakishenu.
Right. Rabbi Yossi's position is, one pasuk is for the mitzvah, one pasuk is to teach me, and if you didn't do it, boy, are you in trouble. It's not a carbon tamid. That's the view of Rabbi Yossi. Which is unlike the Ben Bagbag, which I didn't get to yet, I don't want to get to right now. The point for us is, says the Malbim, the Tanakama believes that the Bikur examination is not Ma'akev. It's not a firm requirement such that it's not a valid carbon if you didn't check. You're supposed to check, you're not supposed to be Makdish, an animal that you know to be a Balmum, that's it. And the Rambam follows the Tanakama against the view of Rabbi Yossi, which is odd because we usually follow Rabbi Yossi, right? Nimuko imo. Nonetheless, he does not follow Rabbi Yossi, who required the active bedika. One last question. By the way, all of this sprang from a couple of side comments. Just, we are in a Minchas Chinuch here. It sprang from a couple of side comments in the Minchas Chinuch here, and then also in Mitzvah Tav Aleph. The Minchas Chinuch that you're looking at here is Os Beis, is where he gives you the jumping off point. But really, the Karban Tamid Mitzvah is Mitzvah Taf Aleph, and that's where he has a little more to say. And then this all spiraled out of there. So is Bikur regarding the Karban Tamid really Ma'akev? Is this a hard and fast requirement? And it's not a Karban Tamid if you didn't check. Rabbi Yossi in the Sifra seems to think so, right? Tosfos in Sukkah for sure thinks so. He says if you didn't check it, you have to bring a chatas, and it's not a carbon tamid. On the other hand, the Or Zeruah says, I can prove to you that it's not so. It's a Gemara that a lot of people know. It's a Gemara in Bava Kamma. Take a look, please, at source number 13. I only brought you a piece of it, all that we needed to see. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Kishetzaru beis chashmonoi zeh al zeh, when things deteriorated among the chashmonoim, and there was a siege where one camp of the Hashmonoim outside and one inside of the compound. Haya Horkunus mi bifnim, Aristobulus mi bachutz. Horkunus was inside, Aristobulus was outside. Uvachoyom ayu mishashalem bekupa dinarin. And every day the people inside lowered money to the people outside. Vayumalalem tamidin. And they gave them the animals to bring as the carbon tamid until somebody told them, remember the whole story, and they stopped bringing it and all that. But he says the Or Zeruah, I don't understand. Who's doing the checking for these animals? These animals are outside the wall. You're not doing any checking. If you're telling me that Bikur is Ma'akev, it's a firm requirement, then the whole story falls apart. And so on that basis, the Or Zeruah contended it's not so. He also made the logical argument that other korbanos don't need checking at all. It's a reach to say that for the Karban Tamid, not only do you require checking, but if you didn't check, it's Ma'akev. He says that's really strange to him. Tosfos and Erchin might also be seen as a sign that it's not ma'akev, that it's not a hard and fast thing. Tosfos talks about a separate question. The Gemara wants to know how a carbon changes age. How does a carbon age? Do we go based on its birthday? Right? You have to keep records of this animal was born on such and such a day. Or do you go based on Rosh Hashanah? The same way we do in the plant kingdom. Right? Plants turn, they turn a new age based on Tu B'Shvat, based on Rosh Hashanah, whatever it is, whatever, depending on what our, you know, what the topic is under discussion. So how do we determine the age of a carbon when you say it has to be brought in its first year? When is the first year? Satosfo says, logically, you have to do it based on its birthday and not based on Rosh Hashanah. It must be so. Take a look at source number 14. Hiksha Rav Shmuel ben Rav Elchanan. Rav Shmuel ben Rav Elchanan asked, Lama likra, who needs a pasuk to teach me that you go based on the birthday of the animal and not based Rosh Hashanah? Typically, misvara, you could deduce it logically. Di lo te ma'achin, because if you're not going to say that, heyach nimza tamidin ksherin la Rosh Hashanah. How would you ever have a kasher carbon tamid for Rosh Hashanah? Right? Shim noad kodim Rosh Hashanah, if it's born before Rosh Hashanah, miyad kishenifnas Rosh Hashanah ben beiz shanimu, it's now 2 years old once you hit Rosh Hashanah. Va'anu keves ben shanabainin, we require a yearling, latamidin. Vim unolad yom Rosh Hashanah, if it's born on Rosh Hashanah itself, mechusuz manu, then it's too young, you can't bring it in the first week. So he says that can't be so. That's what Tosfo says. And so the question then is, well, you know what? He didn't mention the other point. He didn't mention the fact that it's not checked. From the fact that Tosfo doesn't mention the lack of checking, does that show that Tosfo believes checking is not really a hard and fast requirement? So the Kometz HaMincha, writing in Minchas Chinuch on Tavala 401, he says, not necessarily. Maybe Tosfos had numerous arguments to bring, and he just brought one. He, you know, it doesn't have to be that this was the sum of all potential arguments. In any case, the upshot of what we have then is, there is an obligation to check the Karban Tamid of the Gemara. It's cited based on the Karban Pesach. It can be done before you actually purchase and dedicate it. We have the side note on Rashi on the Tamidin Shalu Hutzrichu. The purpose of doing this check is as a proactive mitzvah to make sure that this is a tam, more than we require by others. The Rambam seems to believe that you're supposed to check it, but not that it's necessarily a hard and fast requirement. And indeed, we seem to have a machlokas on that point between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama in the Sifra, with evidence from that Gemara and Bava Kama to indicate that you don't need to check it. Fine. All of this brings us back to Karban Pesach. Take a look, please, at source number... I bring it here. Hang on. I thought I was going to bring it on the sheet. No, I didn't bring it on the sheet. So I'll tell it to you outside. It's a pasuk. The pasuk says that it's Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Gimel in Sefer Shmos. That you shall set aside the Karban Pesach on the 10th. Right? Here it is. It's part of the Gemara in source number 2. Dabrua Kol Adas Yisrael Lemor. Speak to the Jewish people and tell them Be'osor LaChodesh Hazeh. V'yikru, on the 10th of this month, you shall acquire, right, the carbon, and you'll shaft it on the 14th. Got it? That's what we say here. The Gemara now needs to discuss 2 points. Number one, 2 separate concepts, one being purchasing on the 10th, and the other being examining it for 4 days. The two are not the same. The Meiri is going to make that point, but you'll see it explicitly in the Gemara, or implicitly in the Gemara, that it's not so, that those are not the same thing. That's one question we need to deal with is, do I require both? Do I require only one? Which one of those two? That's number one. Question number two, how many of these laws that apply regarding Pesach and Mitzrayim apply to future Karban Pesach, whether Pesach Ledoros or Pesach Sheni? Either one. That's another question we need to address. So take a look, please, at source number 2. This is the Gemara based on the views of Rashi and Tosfos.
The Pesach Sheni be any different than if you have the Mishnah of the Doris afterwards?
Just wait. You will see, I hope. The Mishnah says, Ma bein Pesach Mitzrayim le Pesach Doros? What's the difference between Pesach and Mitzrayim and Pesach for all time? Pesach Mitzrayim mek chomi ba'osor. You purchase Pesach Mitzrayim on the 10th, .. We don't need the rest of that Mishnah. Min nolan. The brackets there are my own comments. Menolan de mechomi ba'osa rak pesach mitzrayim. How do you know that the mitzvah of buy it on the 10th only applied in Egypt? Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, davru al kodas yisrael emor be'asor la'chodesh hazeh. This month, the bold is also my own. You won't find that in the Gemara. Ze mechomi ba'asor. The end Pesach doros mechomi ba'asor. This one you buy on the 10th, not future carbon Pesach. Ela me'ata, to which the Gemara asks, well then wait a minute. Va'yalachem le'mishmeres ad ba'asor yom la'chodesh hazeh. The Torah says, right, we're in source number 2. When the pasuk says, you shall guard it until the 14th of this month. That's the pasuk for examining it, because it says lemishmeres, you shall guard it, right? And it also says hazeh. Does that mean this is the only thing you guard? This is the only animal you check for 4 days? Vatanya, I have a brisa. Ben bagbag omer minayin l'tamid shetam bigur. This should look familiar. Shetam bigur arba yamim kodim shchita. How do you know that you're supposed to check it for 4 days before you shecht it? Shneamar regarding the carbon tamid. Shneamar tishmeru lak reliva mo'ado. The word tishmeru is used regarding the carbon tamid. Ulahalanu omer regarding the carbon pesach. It says vayalachem l'mishmeres ad arba asar. You check it until the 14th. Malal anton bigur arba yamim kodim shchita. Avka anton bigur arba yamim kodim shchita. So ben Bagbag deduces from the carbon Pesach to the carbon Tamid. But you told me the word Hazeh is exclusive.
Why can't he deduce from Pesach Mitzrayim?
He is.
Carbon Tamid.
Yes.
So how does that prove that it applies to Pesach Doros?
Oh, no.
I want to say you can't extract.
No, it doesn't prove that. No, what it proves is that the word Hazeh is non-exclusive. In other words, you're telling me that when I see the word Hazeh, I should suddenly perk up my ears and say only this. Okay? When I see the word hazeh initially here, it's about purchasing on the 10th. Now we're trying to say that all hazehs have the same rule. And therefore, when I see hazeh regarding bikur, that's also going to be exclusive to this. And therefore, Ben Bagbag shouldn't be able to make any deductions for other karbanos. To which the Gemara answers, you're right. We dump Ben Bagbag. We're not interested in his gzera shava. You want to know why you check the karban tamid? Not from the Karban Pesach, but rather Sha'ani Hasam. The Tamid is different, Dichsiv Tishmeru, because the Pasuk says, Tishmeru, you shall guard it. And that was sufficient in and of itself to teach me that you need to examine it in advance. And I wrote in parentheses, in brackets, Az Yesh, Lezeh Makar, Bifnei Atzmo, L'chiv Bedika, O Pesach Toros, Nismait Mi Bedika. Right? We end up saying, Hazeh is indeed exclusive. U Pesach Doros Nami, the Pesach Doros also, Boy Bedika will require examination. Dog Siv, because the Pasuk says, V'abadatayas avodah zos, b'chodesh hazeh. You shall do this avodah on this month. Note, they don't try to do hazeh exclusively there, which confused me no end as I was reading this. But they don't try to do that there. His point is only to say, Pesach Doros also has to be examined in advance, because the Pasuk says, you shall do this avodah in this month. Teaching me, shu kol avodos chodesh zeh kazeh, that all the avodos of this month should be alike. This month, meaning Nisan. Therefore, Pesach of Mitzrayim required Bikur. Pesach Doros also requires Bikur. Ela ha'u hazeh of Bikur.
Where does it say Zekazeh? Where does Zekazeh go on?
You call Avodos Chodesh Zeh, that all the Avodos of this month of Nisan will be Kazeh, like the original one of Nisan, which was Pesach Mitzrayim. So that's what he's saying. So we've dumped now the idea that the original Hazeh excluded Pesach Doros. Right? You just told me that the word Hazeh is indeed exclusive. Right? You told me that. You dumped our question from the Karban Tamid. So now Hazeh is exclusive.
It's like the month of Nisan forever, is what you're saying.
Well, that's the question, is what is Hazeh excluding? If it's not excluding Pesach Doros, what is it excluding? Elahu hazeh de bikur lema'utemai. What does this hazeh of bikur exclude? Lema'uti rak Pesach Sheni de kevasei. Only excluding Pesach Sheni, which is like it. It meaning Pesach Rishon, as Rashi explains, because Pesach Rishon was a one-day deal. It wasn't a seven-day Yom Tov. So too, Pesach Sheni, which is only a one-day Yom Tov, not a seven-day Yom Tov. That's what you mean to exclude the Lamed Lesbe Bikur. To teach me there is no Bikur. What Rashi ends up saying here...
Lesbe Bikur where? For which one?
For Pesach Rishon? I'm sorry, for Pesach Sheni.
Oh, Sheni.
And if you find a moment,
And if you find a mum, it's no good, but I don't have to do a proactive examination.
No, you don't have to have it for 4 days.
I don't have to do a proactive examination at the time of purchase and all that. The upshot of this, the upshot of this read of the Gemara is that I have a pasuk that says, on the 10th day you shall purchase. This one, Pesach Mitzrayim, you know, if you go to your second sign, you can see it more clearly in the table I gave you for Rashi. It's really Rashi and Tosfos. For Pesach Mitzrayim, the left-hand column, we require that you purchase it on the 10th, and we require that you investigate it for 4 days. Pesach Doros, you do not have to buy it on the 10th. I learned that from the Hazeh of V'yikhu. But I still have to do Bikur 4 days.
Not from Hazeh, but...
Not from any Hazeh or anything. I have to do Bikur of 4 days, because all the Avodos of this month are alike in that regard. Pesach Sheni does not require Bikur, because the Hazeh of Bikur excludes Pesach Sheni, and therefore it doesn't require Mekhel Miba'as or purchase on the 10th either. That's what Rashi does. Take a look at Rashi in source number 3. I realize we're getting close to Mincha time. We got about 8 minutes.
According to Pesach Sheni, he can purchase at any time?
Yes.
It doesn't have to be a prerequisite of 4 days.
Correct. Exactly right. Rashi, in source number 3, says this. He says, Hazeh degabe mechol mi be'osor, the Hazeh regarding purchasing on the 10th, al karchach lema'ute Pesach daros asa, must be to exclude Pesach for all time. The ilu lema'ute sheni, because if it was to exclude Pesach sheni, lo itzrich, I wouldn't need it. Why? The imid mehai hazed gabe bikur. Because you already excluded it from the fact that you said you don't need to check it. Right? If I don't need to check it, then I don't need to buy it. Umimid mi bikur abayo imekach asor. That serves to exclude both. De travayu mishtami mehau krup. Both of them are deduced from the same pasuk. De lemishmeres mashma bikur umekach. Lemishmeres means buy it in advance, check it in advance. V'idu hazeh, then the other hazeh, what's it going to be for? Memayit Pesach Doros imekach ba'asor. That will exclude Pesach Doros from being purchased on the 10th. Avol mibikur abayom lo memayit le. This is the point I said before that Rashi was going to tell you. The fact that that we say you don't have to buy it on the 10th does not mean you don't have to check it 4 days. Im lo ifrisho mi ba'asor, even if you didn't set it aside on the 10th. Yevaker shnayim u'shlosha tzla mi ba'aser. Check a few animals starting on the 10th. U'b'shah shchita yikach hachameyim. When you get to the shchita, then you purchase. Harashi says beferish. He believes that the checking can go on before you purchase the animal, before you've dedicated the animal. But the key point for us, in the way we read this, is that the view of Rashi is that the way that the message of this Gemara is that you do... that you do check Pesach every single year, Pesach Ladaros. You check it for 4 days in advance of the Shechita. The Rambam, lo and behold, and this is what the Menachas Chinuch picks up on, the Rambam doesn't mention anything about checking the Korban Pesach. The closest we come is that Rambam in Hilchos Shgagos that we saw, which said if it turns out to be a treifa, it turns out to be a balmum, boy, are you in trouble. But that's it. Whereas if I really believed you had an obligation to check it, then he would say even if it didn't turn out to be a balmum, you would be in trouble because you didn't check. The Rambam doesn't say that. He doesn't seem to think that you have to check it. Didn't the Rambam have our Gemara? That's what bothers the Minchas Chinuch. He says, if you take a look in the second paragraph here, in the first paragraph of Beis, the Ayim Psachim Tzadivavim Ad Aleph to Pesach Dino Kekarban Tamid V'Ton Bikur Abayom Kodem Shchita, right? See that. See the Gemara. It says it, that you have to do it. V'Rambam, Paragal between the Musaf and maybe Din Zeh, the Rambam brings it regarding the Karban Tamid. It's Tzarech HaTamid Bikur Abayom and Kodem Shchita, Ayin Shama Lachates. U'v'Hilchos Karban Pesach Lo Matzasi Shiyavi Rambam Din Zeh. When it comes to Hilchos Karban Pesach, the Rambam doesn't actually bring it. The U'b'Shas Ein Cholik, but no one argued in the Gemara that we saw in Psachim. V'tzarech iyun gadol lama hishmito haRambam. This requires great examination. What in the world went wrong? Why didn't the Rambam mention it? And then he has a separate side note. And then he goes off into whether Bikur is Ma'akev or not, which we'll come back to in a second. What do I do? The Mekeres HaMishnah has a fascinating alternative read, which we don't have time to do in depth, but I brought it in source 16. I showed you there the way he does it. But basically, the linchpin for his reading is that he believes that the word Sheni doesn't mean Pesach Sheni. The word Pesach, the word Sheni means anything that's not Pesach Mitzrayim. All those later Karbonos Pesach. So if you look at the table that I brought under Rambam, he says, Pesach Doros does not require purchase on the 10th. We knew that already from Hazeh of Vikru. And it doesn't require Bikur for 4 days either because of a Hazeh regarding Bikur. Stunning read. I have a very hard time with it, but it's a very interesting read. It does fit better in the Gemara itself, in the word, in the question that starts with Ella, and I brought it there with, I rewrote the notes on that Gemara, so you can read it the way that he reads it, which we're not going to be able to do right now, but it's source 16 there. But the way the Merkavah's HaMishnah tries to come up with an interesting answer. Is Bikur a hard and fast requirement according to those who have it, who believe in it for Karban Pesach? If you didn't check it, you're in trouble. The Minchas Chinuch says yes. He says, he says it's sufficient to check it before you shecht it, right? He says that would be so, but it is, in fact, a requirement that you have to do some bikur. And he says, the truth is, this is a big chiddush, this is a big novelty to me. But he says, look, if it's ma'akev for the Karban Tamid, which we've seen is already questionable, then certainly it should be ma'akev for the Karban Pesach, which, at least according to Ben Bagbag, was the source for the Karban Tamid. That's his argument. The Or Zeruah said it's not true. He said it's not so. Take a look at source 17, the Mishnah in Psachim, which says, Shchata v'nimtza ba'al mum chayev. If you shech the Karban Pesach and it turns out to be blemished, then you're chayev. Right? That's a Shabbos case. And Rashi there says, source 18, why? Because Havalei LeBakura, you should have checked it. That indicates that the only reason it's disqualified, though, is because it turned out to have a mum. If lack of Bikur itself disqualified it, then that wouldn't matter. Whether it had a mum or not, you'd be in trouble either way. So that, or Zeruah says, shows that it's not, that this is not a hard and fast requirement. So again, in sum, we saw the Gemara in Erechin that said that you do Bikur and you keep for the Karban Tamid and you keep a supply of Tamidin. And we thought we learned that from the Karban Pesach. We said that the Bikur can be before you dedicate it. Right? We saw that from the Gemara in Megillah about announcing 30 days in advance. We had the side note, then what about the Tamidin from the end of Adar, according to Rashi? The Malbim explained the reason we do the Bikur is, again, because it's a proactive mitzvah of check this animal at the time of purchase, / at the time of bringing the Karban Machlokes, Tanakama, and Rabbi Yossi. The Rambam seems to believe that one need not check the Karban Tamid. Seems to be following the Tanakama against Rabbi Yossi was the Malbim's verdict. We asked whether Bikur is really a hard and fast requirement. We said that Tosfos certainly seems to think so. But we challenged it from the Gemara Bava Kama about Horkanus and Aristobulus. We then asked, what about the Karban Pesach, we show that according to Rashi and Tosfos, Pesach, the Karban Pesach requires Bikur, right? Based on their read of the Hazez there in the Gemara in Psachim. The Rambam doesn't mention it as a requirement, possibly because he reads the Gemara in Psachim differently. He says that when we exclude Pesach Sheni, that includes Pesach Ledoros. That seems to be the Rambam's read. And then we have a debate. According to those who do include Bikur as a mitzvah, is it a hard and fast requirement? Logically, the Menchas Chinuch says yes. If it's going to be a requirement for the Karban Talmud, it's going to be a requirement for the Karban Pesach. But the Or Zeruah shows from the Mishnah of Psachim that it's not so clear at all. Shkach.